So somebody starts off at 5,000. Well, 4,000, 4,000, 4,000, 3,000, 2,000. 2,000 were bid for. 2,000 were bid, 2,000. In advance of 2,000. 2-1, 2-1. I'm all right, 2-2, 2-2, 2-3. 2-4, 2-4, 2-5. 2-5 were bid, 2-5. In advance of 2-5, 2-5 were bid, 2-5. 2-6, 2-6. 2-7, I see twice. 2-7, 2-8, 2-8, 2-8. 2-9, 2-9. £3,000, €3,000, €3,000. In advance on 3,000, still cheap, what a lot more money. 3-1, 3-2 a bit, 3-2. Anybody after 3-2, 3-2. All out then at 3-2. Last time at 3-2, going at 3-2.
The sound of the engine, the smell of the oil, the smell of the steam, the smell of the smoke. It was a wonderful experience, and I suppose that little traction engine which Jean bought at the auction reminds me of my boyhood evenings, November, at the local fair.
I've been coming to Victor's auctions for 30 years. I bought wonderful pieces of furniture, and Victor 30 years ago had in the yard. Am I allowed to say there's all those wonderful, the wonderful country dressers used to be in the yard or coming out of the farms. And the whole yard out there was full of them. And it was a magical place in those days. But these dressers sadly all left Ireland. Sadly, they all left Ireland. But it was a great meeting place in Altabrary. It was a great, terrific, it was, and it still is, I'm sure, a social occasion. I don't know that people are coming here anymore.
But. What is it about an auction? I mean, you said it's social, it's a bit, it's about the antiques, it's about the people.
Well, I'm pausing to think for a minute, I'd say. It's the buzz, it's the excitement, and it's always gratifying if you come home with something that is nice for your home, something that you collect. It's always worrying to come to an auction if you desperately want something. That makes, that puts an edge on it, and sometimes one may go away disappointed. But there is the buzz because of people, and watching the people is interesting, or interacting, meeting friends.
Items have a life beyond their initial sort of ownership, if you like. You know, they.
I think that's a very interesting question, because I think for many things, and particularly for something like this, it's imbibed with a certain spirit of its creator, and as a work of art is, as anything, but as a piece of good craftsmanship is, and this is something, of course, that's lost from modern mass production, is that I think objects have their own intrinsic interest, but they also have a history, and they also perhaps even absorb something of the people who've loved them for the years, who loved them and maintained them.
The miniature steam engine was handmade by an English mechanic who had come to live in Ireland in perfect working order. Steam-driven engine, handmade. There was no other one of it, anything like it in the country. Anybody after 3-2? 3-2. All out then at 3-2. Last time at 3-2. Going at 3-2. Going at 3-2. Sold to.
I'm very happy that it's coming to a home that will love it and appreciate and enjoy it, because it's always sad to see something that somebody has treasured, put a lot of love into, just becoming a monetary transaction and going to a dealer, maybe going to England and be sold for a very high price in England, and it becomes just purely part of a commercial transaction, which I think is demeaning for an object that's very beautiful and is very superbly made, and that someone has put a great deal of labour and love into producing.
The auctioneer paused to drink and wiped his lips and looked about, engaged in whispered colloquy. The clerk, who frowned and seemed to think, and murmured, "Why not do it next?"
We'll take its glass case off, which isn't not so easily done. There we are. And now we can see it reasonably well. Well, I don't know how much you know about steam engines. Perhaps not very much. There's a very simple piece of machinery, very ingenious. And I'm happy to say I remember them in use on our roads. And having acquired this traction engine, I think I must take myself off. Now I think of it, I must take myself off to Galway and go and have a look at the steamroller just to, well, to remind myself of what a real one looked like.
Well, you looked through the album depicting showing photographs of your ancestors. The album itself played entertaining tunes. It's the second one. And the old family photographs were kept in these, but shown with musical entertainment. There were no gramophones, no wireless, nothing like that. When these were... Well, it's cranking and creaking a bit. Now it needs to be oiled. We try to do 700 lots on average when we do our auctions. We used to do one every month, but since we went into the property business, we do one every second month because we don't have the time for it. And secondly then, the quality of antiques has deteriorated. Young people don't buy them, and older people either have enough or just buy something specifically with the need.
130 in the very back wall, 130. 130 I'm bidding at, 130. Any advance on 130 for the two of them? All on 130 and selling the time at 130.
George Stackpool, and I'm an antique dealer. I have a shop in Adair, and I'm also president of the Irish Antique Dealers Association. Victor's had a very special place in the auction world. I mean, it's one of the really special ones of the country. It's very much what you see is in here. It's a great mix of things, and this sale particularly that we're here today is a real eclectic mix of really good things, which is very refreshing to a lot of the other auction houses, which is a real mishmash of... interesting things and not so interesting things and some questionable things. Victor's got enormous experience in the trade, and I think he has a very good eye. Every lot is an interesting lot, which is very refreshing. I haven't been to an auction of this nature for many, many years of this sort of mix of stuff.
What stands out?
Well, there's a wonderful set of chairs over there, painted chairs, and he expects big money for them. There's a few interesting pictures around, but there are also little bits of china and brass and you know, copper and things like that. There's something for everyone, even down to walking sticks with foxes' heads on and dogs and things like that. Very collectible. And a charming doll's house with fully furnished, but no staircase. Now, that's the interesting thing, because a collector rang me and said, is there a staircase? Now, I saw it last week, and I had never noticed there was a staircase, but a staircase to a collector is very important into a doll's house. So I learned something. We're learning all the time.
And Louise is Victor's daughter and auctioneer.
The doll's house was furnished. It was also electrified. One would attach the electrical operation to a battery. And it was quite amusing, really, because the furnishings were Victorian furnishings, and yet they introduced 1960s bathroom suites as well, which is quite comical because that's what people have done so in their own homes. It made €650 on the sale, which is quite satisfactory. I was told by a viewer that a doll's house in Lissadell made into the tens of thousands, but then that was reportedly played with by the Gore Booth family, so that would make a difference, perhaps.
A Mickey Mouse money box, dated about 1940.
Let's go and have a quick,
yeah,
quick
right.
Look.
There's no way of getting the money out, so most children broke the box. So very, very few intact in the world today, with Mickey and Minnie in red, a collector's item.
The auctioneer, though full of doubt, unacquiescent, rather vexed, at last agreed, and at his sign two ministrants came softly forth and lifted in an ashen shroud something extremely carefully packed. They steadied it gently and with care and held it covered, standing there.
You know, the lads who carry the stuff around wear white coats, and it's very traditional, and everyone sort of bustles around after the lot, whereas normally in auctions it's far more formal and you sit down like a theatre and everybody just bids, quite boring, whereas here everyone bustles around and goes out for tea and coffee and it's very sociable.
Lot 93, Victorian cast iron bed, 4 foot 6 inches with irons. It's inset with deer plaques on both ends. A lovely bed, straight from a farmhouse. Have you €1,000, €1,900, well, €800, €600 bid, €600 bid, €600, €650, €700, €750, €800, €850, €900, €950, €1,000, €1,100, €1,200. 1,200 am I right now? 1,200 bid, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, 1,400, 1,400. All out there at 14, selling 14, buyer 132.
Orla Kelly is my name and I work for the Irish Landmark Trust, who are a charity who rescue buildings in need, and then I'm the lucky person who gets to fit them all out with furniture, pick historic colours, wallpapers, and... So I go to all the auctions around the country. Sometimes I need specific things. Like today, I'm buying for a building up north called the Barbican in Glenarm, and everything has to go up a stone spiral staircase that's only a metre wide. So I was looking for a bed, particularly the stag head. There's a beautiful cast iron bed outside, which has a stag on the front and the back. And it's been in private, apparently, it's been in a private house for the last 25, 30 years. So it hasn't been out at the auctions, and I got it today, which is primarily what I came for, and I paid over the odds, so estimate 800, and I'm afraid I paid a bit more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about the quality of what you get compared to, you know, if you went into a shop, the kind of bed, the kind of quality you would get for €800. I have no interest in provenance. Provenance basically is, if this bed had been slept in one night by W.B. Yeats, it would double the value of it. And I never want that, because I don't care who slept in it, I just want the bed. So usually a piece of furniture that has come from either an important house, from Lissadel, for example, the stuff would have been, you know, far more expensive, or anything from Countess Markovitch, you know, all the, you know, the doll's house she played with, I think went for €2,000, Amelia's or something like that, you know, whereas I'm just interested in something that no one important has ever owned or slept in, because it's much cheaper. Well, we're in a small village called Glenarm, which is on the Antrim coast, just above Larne. It's a most picturesque village with really beautiful architecture throughout the village. And we're just standing on the bridge here with a very attractive river that leads. You can see the sea right in front of you. And to our left is a long line of battlement walls that look really heavily fortified. And they are the walls of the estate of Viscount Dunluce. And right in front of us is the famous Barbican Gate. And this would have been more than a gate lodge. It very much would have been a fortified gate. And once these gates open, you have a wonderful panoramic view of the big house.
Then if we do want to open it, you'll not see any rail when the curtain's up, if you put an Ordinary Swiss rail up.
Where does it go, though? Across the top here?
Across the top here.
Okay. And if it's windproofed enough, then we won't need to do this.
Right. But I measure it just in case.
Thank you very much. Well, the Viscount Dunluce has very kindly given us this Barbican Gate building, and the Landmark Trust acquire it, restore it, and then I would come in and bring the furnishings, and we would then let it to various people over, you know, you can stay for a week or a weekend, and the revenue we create from that goes to rescue another building. Even though it looks like a magnificent castle that sleeps about 35, it actually only has one bedroom, which is at the top of a stone spiral staircase So I have had many panic attacks, anxiety dreams about the bed not going up the stairs. But as you can see, the stairs is actually quite broad. It's got its beautiful stone steps, and we have a rope for a railing up the side. It's got wonderful gunlit windows all the way up that give you panoramic views out over the river, the sea. And here we are at the famous bedroom. The stairs has me out of breath. I've been carrying stuff up the stairs all morning. So, well, the bed is really the main piece of this bedroom. It's a highly unusual bed. And Victor Mitchell in Ross Grey, who's been in the business for 74 years, said he had really never come across anything like it before. It also had a very happy previous life in that it was 35 years with its previous owner. I mean, you kind of wonder about the fate of a really special bed like this, that it, I don't know, maybe they end up in bungalows and housing estates, and I don't know where they end up. This is a very, it's almost like Alice in Wonderland. You come out this tiny little wooden door, and then you're on most amazing roof garden. I had been, it was a kind of a quest really, because I had been looking for a bed for here for at least a year or two, which is when I would have first seen this building. And I knew, because it was such a spectacular building with only one bedroom, that it needed a very unusual bed. The minute I saw it, it felt like the right bed for the place. Unfortunately, somebody else at the auction thought that as well, so I had to bid quite high. But I really think it looks excellent, and it'll have a very happy home here, hopefully, for 50 or 100 years, so that makes it very good value. And I do think this is probably the most magical of all the Landmark Trust buildings. You really feel as though you're in a fairy tale.
I'm guessing it could make over 5,000 now. There it is, lot 169, Victorian engraved brass style with movement. The spandrels are all engraved. It's stamped Rick Deeble of Cork. And the it has been confirmed for us that the hands are as they were 300 years ago.
Lot number 169, Victorian engraved brass style with movement stamped Rick Deeble in Cork. This is so rare, you wouldn't believe it. I think it's over... 100 years old. We've had a huge amount of...
John is selling this now, and there's a lot of excitement about it. And Victor's excited.
I said, I hope his heart holds out.
He's taking bids in 250s, which is unusual, but that's because, and as you see this gentleman here, this book, he's hiding behind a screen. He's putting his catalogue up. He won't want to be seen. And we know we've absent bidders. We're at 5,000 now, so that's what I thought we'd make at least. Look, 200, and still strong, and bids of 200. 5,8. This gentleman's hiding behind the screen, so he's just showing his catalogue. 6,200. 6263. He's taking in ones now, slowing down. 64. He's the highest. The man in the room is the highest. Yeah. But again, he'll put that into a good clock case, and it'll be worth 15 or 20,000 with the right case. 6,300 to a person in the auction rooms now. 42. Who's remaining? Not well. I can't see him from here anyway, and he'll probably slink out now, somewhere. Yeah. Victor's got a big smile on his face. He can't contain it. Sometimes it's hard not to be a little bit excited yourself on the rostrum.
$20, $30. Thank you, sir. May I say $40? Thank you, sir. $50. You, sir. Thank you, sir.
We are now offering for sale a grandfather clock in a mahogany case, white dial, by Milton & Son, Dublin, in its perfect working order. It's belonged to a collector who had a minimum of 40 clocks, all in perfect working order, some mantel clocks, some grandfather clocks, some advertising clocks. Oh, a bit 1800, 1800, any advance in 1800, 1900, 2000, 2000, 2-1, 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, 2-3, any advance in 2-4, 2-4, 2-5, 2-5, 2-6, 2-7, 2-7-5-0, 2-8, 2-8, any advance in 2-8, all out of 2-8, selling down at 2-8, going at 2-8, 2-8.
This man here has just bought a grandfather clock. I'm showing you how to disassemble the clock so you can put it back together. The weights have to come off. The pendulum has to come off because it'll break. I lift up the pendulum here. You can see where my finger is. Take it off at the top. I drop it down through the eye.
Yeah, I see.
And we take it out and we put it over here. Now we can take off the weights. Because one piece gets broken, you're off to the clockmaker to get it repaired. And that could cost you just as much as the price of the clock itself. There's a local man that I'd bring you to. He just...
here in Raskray,
yes, and he's a great gift. If you're ever doing this, we have to stop here. You'll hear a little click. Click. She's now getting ready. She's now getting ready to chime. Like just at about 2 minutes before the hour, click. She's now, the escapement has moved into position. She's ready to chime. She'll come out at 2 o'clock. Majestic. And you can adjust the tone as well. If you wanted to make... Oh, you can.
And the bell above there.
You can. The bell will stay the same. But if you bend the striker, you can make it strike
harder
or softer.
I bought it just as an antique, just for my own private living room. I have a lot of kind of Victorian furniture kind of thing. And
what attracts you to this one?
Yeah. It's very Victorian.
The style of it, because I remember when I was a child, we had a grandfather clock much similar to that. I think it was a Victorian one. I'm not sure if this is a Victorian one, is it?
Oh, it is genuinely
Victorian.
It's a Victorian, genuinely.
Yeah. And I remember it as a child, and I always wanted to buy one. So it's only now I can afford to buy one.
Were you happy with the price? Were you bidding with anybody else?
No, I bid by whatchamacallit?
Telephone.
No,
you left a bit, did you?
Left a bit.
Good man.
And then we left a maximum price that I go to.
Yeah. And did you get it below your price?
I did, yeah.
I'm delighted.
About 200 euros below.
I'm delighted. And not only is it Victorian, it's early Victorian. See the reading here? This clock dates from maybe 1830 or 1835. So it's a good early Victorian piece. The Victorian period went from the 1830s up to 1900. The earlier the better. She reigned for what, 64 years?
Yeah. Century, isn't
that right? That's 1904.
Yeah.
It came from the collection in Raskray.
From a house in Raskray?
Yes, a man who collected clocks all his life.
20? 30? Thank you, sir. May I say 40? Thank you, sir. 50? You, sir. Thank you, sir.
Hello, Fergal. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
How are you doing? Nice to meet you.
I remember as a kid playing in there. And a grandfather clock just like that. To that particular type of one I wanted, you see. You see a lot of them at auctions, but I've never seen one that was appealed to me as much. Because the one we had when I was young was the very same as that. It's a Victorian one, I'd imagine. Well, the name on the face of the clock is Milton and Son Dublin. But I'm told that they may not have been the makers. They would have been the sellers of the clock. But it says probably about 1860 or 70 around that time. So I bought that, I put a commission bid in that, actually. I wasn't present at the auction. So that's the way I bought it. I put a commission for 3,000 on it. I bought it for 2,800. It was knocked down to me. I'm very happy with it. It was such a nice clock. It's nice for a day out to go to the auction anyway, just to look around. You'll always see some unusual things too, you see. When you're sitting in the room now, if you haven't done television on or anything, you'll hear a ticking. It's a nice tick. I always love the tick of a clock.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah. There she's off now. Sounds a little like a cash register.
I keep
it for the rest of my days anyway. Well, I won't part with it anymore. And I'm not knowing where it's going to go. As the man said, you can't take a winch.
50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100.
Good stuff and good prices. Anton and copper. Very, very good auction there. Some fantastic stuff here today. Thank you, Maria.
20? 30. Thank you, sir. May I say 40? Thank you, sir. 50. You, sir. Thank you, sir.
I found my love by the gasworks croft. Dreamed a dream by the old canal.
I was bidding for a little figure of a bronze figure of a boy playing a flute. And my wife's birthday is on Sunday, and I thought she'd love it, so I wanted to get it and put it in the fountain. So he's playing the flute with the water around it. Unfortunately, I didn't get it. Well, I like auctions, and you always find something you can't live without. And it's the excitement and the congeniality of it, you know. We all know each other. Well, a lot of people know each other. Hello, how are you? Haven't seen you since the last auction, and I... it's exciting, you know, see how the bidding goes and so on. It's a social, it's a historical thing. It's very nice, very pleasant.
By the factory wall, dirty old town.
And then I thought I'd retire and come and live in a small cottage in Ireland. But I ended up restoring a house that had been burned down in the 1930s. And it's as big as the one I left, so suddenly, you know, I need to furnish it, and when I see something I like, I fall in love with it, buy it, put it up, or put it on a, you know, piece of furniture or whatever.
We're about 10 lots behind as probably would like to be in the morning, but then because in one item now 4 or 5 people are bidding at it, whereas sometimes only 2 are bidding, it's taking longer to sell each item.
Thank you, sir, concurred the auctioneer, surprised but glad to know that he had rightly heard, and added, well, then I may proceed. I am bid 2,000. Any advance upon that sum?
Outside the sales rooms we have a pair of large lions, almost life-size, a magnificent pair, cast. 1,000 were bid, 1,000 were bid, 1,000 were right, 1,000, 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, 1,400, now am I right, 1,400, 1,500, 1,600, 1,700, and 1,800, 1,800 bid now, any advance on €1,800, 1,800, all at that 1,800, selling at 1,800, number 1, 2, 3.
So you want me to begin?
Maybe something else. Let's see. No. I should have done a bit of practicing. I'm very sorry. We're in the drawing room of Ross Castle in County Galway. Well, when we moved to Ireland, we certainly didn't have enough furniture, and I became friends with a lady called Margaret Fahey, who was an antique dealer, and she introduced me to Victor and the rooms in Roscrea. And I'd been going now to Mount Butler for the last 14 years. And I furnished certainly 2 cottages and 3 or 4 apartments totally from the furnishings of Victor. And I find them delightful. I can find bits and pieces that I couldn't find any other place, I think. Every time I go, I certainly have to send a truck to bring back all the things. It's nothing that my car would be able to accommodate. Now, you'll notice on the front lawn that you can see from here, there are some boxes there, and that is
in anticipation of the two great big lions that I bought at Victor's. We wanted to see how they would look there. But they're still at Victor's.
My wife has a very creative and currently Victor has two lions, one snarling and one smiling, that have yet to be delivered because they weigh 500 pounds apiece. They will be delivered, and Victor just doesn't ask for the money immediately.
It seems that your wife is probably one of Victor's best customers. Would that be correct?
Victor knows when she's in the audience.
Well, the Martins built it. It's the ancient house of the Martins of Ross, and it was built in 1590, and it was the first house actually built outside of the walled city of Galway by one of the tribes, and it had gone through a couple of rebuildings, and the latest one was with us when we, you know, put back a mansard roof and did all sorts of things, put in windows. And floors and various things. Now, this room is the library. The shelves themselves came from a French manor house in East Galway. And the bits and pieces of furniture, of course, came from Victor, even though he didn't recognize a single piece when he came here. His daughter brought him here. I had been inviting him for years, and he would come. He came in and sat down, and I said, "Victor, do you recognize these chairs?" Said, "No, but they came from Mount Butler, Victor." "Did they really?" And I served him tea. We're in the front hall now, and we're going into the dining room. And, you know, there's one thing about Victor's. You can be lucky. You can also be unlucky. You can have your heart set on certain pieces, but if somebody else does, especially a dealer, I'm going to lose. But if the said dealer isn't there, then I tend to win. Also, you meet some of the dealers there. They're mainly dealers who go there, a few housewives, but mainly dealers. And you get to know them, and they can be very kind, and if they see that you're gung-ho on trying to get something, they'll allow you to get it, and they won't bid against you, which is very nice. I must say, in the beginning, I wasn't so nice because I didn't realize that this was what one should do. But now I toe the line and I obey the rules.
So there is an etiquette as well, if you like.
Oh, there is. Yes, indeed. Yes, well, there was a carpet that I had badly wanted, and I had waited for 2 hours just for that carpet. It was at the end of the afternoon, and I was standing next to a dealer, and I didn't know it, but she had also her eye on that carpet. And when I began with my hand up ferociously bidding, she stopped the bidding and just had told me later that she wouldn't bid against me, and I thought that was awfully kind. Part of our stone was removed over the years because no one had lived here for so long, and we put advertisements in the paper asking for stone of one sort or another, and a man answered our phone call, our advertisement, and he said, "Yes, we have something down here." And we went to Gort, and the grass was about 4 feet high, and he would push it aside, and he said, "Now there's one, and there's another, and there's another." And now he said, "These are windowsills." I said, "Oh, lovely, they'll be perfect." He said, "Yes, they came from a well-known house. It's called Cool Park, and I was the demolition man, and so I saved them." So we have Lady Gregory's windowsills as part of our coping stone on our walls.
George is outside, I believe. Is he? George doesn't come to the auctions with you.
No. One time George did come, and the first question after we sat was, "Shall we have a walk and have a cup of tea?"
I leave most of the decision-making to my wife. She has the eye and the taste.
Thank you, sir, concurred the auctioneer, surprised but glad to know that he had rightly heard, and added, well, then I may proceed.
I have to admit that sale rooms don't greatly excite me. I'm happy to go around sale rooms, but the actual business of buying in sale rooms is something that I find, well, I suppose if it's not too strong a word, slightly distasteful. I don't like entering into competition with somebody else for an object and using my wealth to acquire that object, or if I don't possess the necessary wealth, being defeated by somebody else's wealth. I don't enjoy that sort of activity, particularly if you appoint somebody as your agent and they go in and they act on your behalf.
80, 90, 100, 102, 110, 120.
Where the traction engine was concerned, there was no agent involved at all. Jean just went along and bought it. Although there is an element of sadness to it, and I think an element of sadness that we will always remember, because I think there was somebody else who thought they might like the traction engine. Perhaps they were just as devoted to the model traction engine as I was myself, and they left disappointed because they didn't possess the adequate financial resources to purchase it. Or maybe they were just wiser than we were. Maybe they realised that it just wasn't worth the price that the traction engine had gone to. But the price was really quite a modest one. I think had it been in an auction room somewhere else, it might well have commanded a higher price than we paid for it.
And I know that certainly with some markets such as the flea markets, the kind of car boot sales, etc., I think they do better in times of recession when people are not quite so well off. They kind of come up a bit, and in reasonably well off times markets can actually go downhill because people are more affluent and less inclined to use them. But I think auctions have an enduring charm. Everybody is always hoping to find the something that, you know, is going to be a little bit different, the thing that they're going to pick up for a song and going to talk about for years later.
We're 2 days after the auction now, and just everybody's coming, as you can see. We're two or three people around collecting their one or two or three or four or five purchases, bringing them home, paying for them. So we gradually run down the stock, and as that happens, more goods. This was such a big auction that we've maybe another 300 lots in the back store ready to be moved in as soon as we've space. So a lot of people, it was amazing. There must have been 100 people here at 11:15. That's strong interest, but there were nice things at the end. One of the last lots was a set of 8 Georgian hand-painted mahogany and satin wood dining chairs, very rare, came from the west of Ireland. They made €31,000, and I don't know if they're going into a private home or they're going to a shop, because the buyer was a stranger to us. So it's an exceptional lot. Even the pair of armchairs alone would be worth maybe €20,000, because they're so exceptional.
What were the highlights for you from the auction?
I suppose, well, our top prize of the day is always a highlight, of course. It was a set of 8 painted satinwood Georgian chairs made €31,000. Sometimes it's not always the biggest price, but a surprising price that is of interest. A lot 169 was a Rick Diebel grandfather clock dial. Rick Diebel died in 1715, as I think I mentioned to you before. And in his short life, he was an excellent clockmaker. Well, I understand that 5, if not 6 people came to the auction rooms to buy that dial alone, and it made €6,300 in the ultimate. It was, well, our estimate is €1,000. We had no idea that Rick Diebel was so important, but certainly the clock people out there knew it. There's no doubt about that. But the buyer of it had actually left an absent bid of €4,000, and I advised them that there was time for them to come, that it wouldn't be sold until after 6:30. So they called themselves, called and bid themselves. And it's amazing, that's the difficulty about the auction. They would have paid up to €4,000 if they hadn't been here. When they were here, they kept going and went up to €6,300. Sometimes the excitement is too much for people.
A Spanish barrel organ. We played a selection of 8 different tunes.
It hasn't been tuned in a while, maybe, has it?
It's in good condition, even though it hasn't been used for a long time. It should make €1,000. It's signed and dated at the back. It is an original.
100 bits for 2, 110, 120. 120 a bit of 120. There's a close up of 120. 120 bit. 130 at the very back wall of 130. 130 on bid now, 130. Any advance on 130 for the 2 of them. All on 130 at selling this time and 130.